Public affairs officers, like their PR counterparts in business, have the task of responding to reporters who sometimes have difficult questions. The PAO's bosses would like to skip it and have the reporters go away. At least some of them. Not a recipe for great public communications. Joining me with some perspective, Chris O'Neill, a federal public affairs officer and the president-elect of the National Association of Government Communicators. And Chris, it's good to have you on.
Great to be here. Thanks.
And we should make it clear you are speaking from your position as the president-elect of the National Association of Government Communicators.
Correct.
But tell us where you do work so we'll know who you are.
Sure. So I'm the chief of media relations at the National Transportation Safety Board.
Okay, and you've been at several other agencies also.
That's correct. I was previously the Deputy Assistant Commissioner for the Office of Public Affairs at U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and before that I was a Public Affairs Officer and an Enlisted Public Affairs Specialist for the United States Coast Guard.
All right. Well, so let's first of all, we should let people know you had reached out in response to a column I wrote. It was a little tough on public affairs officers, and I got a lot of reaction to that. And one of the gripes that I have, and I think members of the public may have if they knew, and let me ask you why this might be the case, just based on what you've seen around government. Some agencies have complete websites listing all the names, titles, phone numbers, and emails for all public affairs and which person represents which area of the agency. And some of them have a dead letter box, press@xyz.com, where you may get an answer. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I work at an agency where all of my staff's contact information is on our website.
I have seen that one, too.
And I think it's the first agency I've worked at where it's been set up that way. And I don't think it's a matter of trying to be unresponsive or not communicating. I think it's a matter of how they handle inquiries and how what an agency's resourced for within their media shop. Some shops, it's easier to have that common email box where everybody can get into it, whether you're the duty PAO or whether it's just the course of business. I think part of it, too, has to do with web design people. They don't like to see a lot of cluttered design, and I think sometimes they view those long contact lists as clutter. So I think there's a lot of reasons why there's a disparity between agencies.
Would you agree that it's probably better to default toward more information about public affairs than less, though?
Well, I think it's great that you have the, you know, how do I get information, right? If you're going to have that singular email inbox on your website, you better answer it and you better look at it routinely because that's how you told people to get information. If you want to divide it up and say, hey, if you want information about rulemakings from my agency, contact this PAO. If you want to know about things on the southwest border, contact this PAO. If you want to know about aviation accidents, contact this person. You know, if you have the resources and the ability to staff things that way, it's great. But whatever model you choose, you have to work it. You have to practice it, and you have to make it work for the public.
Now, over time, if a reporter or someone like me trying to book people for radio does inquire of those boxes, then you get an answer from someone actual, and then you build your own database of who's who, and we've done that quite a bit.
Sure.
But that gets to the next question. To what extent do public affairs officers have the authority or the clout to say, yeah, you've got to go on this show, you've got to answer this question, you've got to do this interview? Do they have much say over that, or are they pretty much subject to the whims of the person involved or someone else?
That's a really great question, and it really boils down to, has the PAO, has that communicator established themselves as a source of great counsel? Do they have a trusted advisor position with the leadership that they serve? If they don't have that relationship, it's really hard to walk into the C-suite, for lack of a better term, walk into a director's office and say, you've got to do this interview. If you don't have that established trusted advisor relationship, it's really hard for them to take that counsel. One of the things I espouse in NAGC is the need to present yourself as that trusted counsel. When I'm advising principals, I tell them, so you would never walk into court without the advice of counsel. Why would you walk into the court of public opinions without the advice of counsel from your public affairs officer?
And the ability for an agency to respond, though, depends to some degree on the person asked for. Like I asked for an interview of a program manager that was listed in a press release, and they jumped on it. And the guy came in personally for the interview, sitting where you're sitting, and very, very senior guy, long history of both doing interviews, but also of expertise in the very particular field he operated in. And so I guess maybe sometimes is the problem that they just don't want to do interviews. They're shy.
Sure. Everybody has a comfort level with dealing with the media. And as you become more senior in government, hopefully you're getting that training and education and awareness as you move through the system, because you recognize that it's part of your job. You have to communicate on behalf of the agency. At some point, you have to be the face of the agency. It can't always be the public affairs officer. That said, there are people who just don't want to do media for whatever reason. Maybe they're not comfortable. Maybe they had a bad experience. Whatever the case may be, it's the role of the PAO to try and help build that comfort level with them. But it's also the role of the PAO to recognize some people just aren't good at media interviews, and maybe it's better to find a different subject matter expert.
We're speaking with Chris O'Neill, a federal public affairs officer and the president-elect of the National Association of Government Communicators. Now, we are still in, I guess you would call, the transition period. And how does that affect public affairs and the ability to communicate?
Yeah, this transition is really particularly interesting. I think it's going to be a great case study at some point. So if you kind of take a step back and look at the last 8 years, there was, you know, from an administration that purported itself to be the champion of transparency, there was a real chokehold on information.
I know
the government. I don't think it's a secret, right? So at the end of the day, I think you had a lot of government communicators who were, for lack of a better word, a little shell-shocked after 8 years and being beaten down. And all of a sudden, there's kind of a rapid change in government and a rapid change in position. And it meant different things for different organizations, organizations that couldn't do anything without asking permission. Suddenly we're told, yeah, go communicate. And other agencies that had carte blanche were kind of getting looked at a different way. And I think after 8 years of just being beaten into submission, communicators were really just kind of coming up out of the foxhole going, well, is it okay for me to do my job again? And what are the swim lanes? And that uncertainty creates a lot of unique situations where you have people say, all right, my default position is do nothing because I can't go wrong doing nothing. And I have other people who are like, I can't wait to lean forward and communicate about my agency.
And so how do politically appointed public affairs people, you know, the deputy secretary for public affairs, that kind of title, how is the interaction between them when they're new and the career staff that's in public affairs?
So going back to the point of government communicators being that advisor, having that trusted counsel role, that's part of what has to happen in transition. The career government communicators have to lash up with the political appointees as they come in and help guide them through the process and help them embrace the axiom of maximum disclosure, minimum delay, bounded by the tenets of security, accuracy, policy, and propriety. And what does that mean, and how do we implement that? And then you have to also recognize that there are going to be impasses. And you have to be able to work through them. But that transition time is time where the career communicators can kind of help shape the path for the political appointees and help them understand that we're here to communicate on behalf of the organization.
Now, those of us in the media trade stories, and we have our favorites in public affairs. What's it like from your side? Do you have people in media that you look at each other and say, don't get that jerk back in here? And some that you say, well, that person's always fair. Let's give him a break. Give her a break.
You know, I think every PAO develops a number of relationships with media, and I've never like outright just said, I'm never doing business with this person again. I've had good experiences with media. I've had bad experiences. I've had people, I think one of the worst ones when I was the 7th Coast Guard District PAO in Miami, I had someone just like fabricate quotes like three times, and I finally just went to that person's editor, and I'm like, unless you don't want this person to ever talk to our office again, we need to fix this. And after we had that open dialogue, everything got better. You know, the role of the government communicator, you can't pick favorites. You can't cherry pick. You have to provide equal access to information. Certainly there are people that I know I can go to in an instant because they're going to cover my issue. They're going to treat it the way that it should be on a basis of facts. But I know they're going to cover it, and there are other people I know I can get them to do it, but it's going to take a lot more pitching and a lot more work to get them interested.
Briefly, tell us a little bit about the NAGC. It's not just federal communicators in your group.
That's correct. The National Association of Government Communicators is dedicated to advancing the profession of communication at all levels of government, at the local, county, state, tribal, and federal. And that's what I really love about the association. When we get together for our annual communication school, we present solutions to problems that you can implement in government. I can go to something that's put on by my corporate counterparts, and they're going to give me a solution that has a price tag of like $1 million. And as a government communicator. I don't have that kind of budget. So I have to find solutions I can implement. And that's what I love about NAGC. The other thing I love about the organization is that it advances the profession of government communications. It's unique. There's a lot of common shared practices in public affairs with public relations. But at the end of the day, there are a number of caveats like, I don't know, understanding the political landscape that you find yourself in government, and the idea that you communicate because it's a public trust, because this is how government works. Good government requires good communication. And that's a little different than maybe someone who practices the art of spin doctoring. I love the fact that there's an association that advances government communication as a profession and as an essential element of government.
Well, as someone who's been in this business for a lot of years, several decades, we do appreciate the work that you are able to do. So thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Chris O'Neill is a federal public affairs officer and the new president of the National Association of Government Communicators. We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.